That was Hear in Our Praise by Fred Hammond. God bless you on this afternoon, wherever you may be. We send you greetings from the U.S. This is the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving your house. Now, we encourage you to go to the church house. We encourage you to be up under a pastor, a minister leading you in the words of truth according to the written word of the Holy Bible. Those are sacred scriptures. We encourage you to do that. But if you weren't able to get out today because of whatever pandemic in your area, we're here to serve just as a conduit to connect you with the Word of God and some songs to lift up your spirit, to bring praise into your atmosphere wherever you may be. And on this day, we pray that the blessing of the Lord fall upon you afresh. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. We have the Six Eyes team with us on this wonderful afternoon. Hello, everyone. Six and the gang. Amen. God bless you all.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Afternoon. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. I'm thankful. Amen. I have so much in me. I'm trying to figure out where to start the lesson out today. I tell you, we're at this season. This is a season of celebration where Jesus is the reason for the season. A lot of people are getting hyped up for the Christmas celebration. Some celebrate.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe there's some not for one reason or the other. But I want to talk about why this is a season to celebrate. Amen. But we're going to keep on going right now. I heard Sister Ruth. I heard you, Six. Anybody else on the line that want to say hello?
Howdy.
There he is. Amen. Amen.
Hey,
well, that was none other than Missionary Ken himself. You know, but I tell you, it is a blessing to be amongst the saints one more time. And we have gathered together in fellowship in the spirit of unity. Amen. We come to encourage the spirit of the Lord, not just to be present with us, but to be present with you, our listeners, wherever you may be. Amen.
And we have listeners all over the world. So hello to you. And I want to say hello to Clubhouse, particular room, DT Singer's room. Hello to that room. I had some guests to stop by, so they're supposed to stop by. So if you're there, press the 1 if you want to say hello. I know Alicia Ho is supposed to call in. Dave is supposed to call in. And I want to say hello to my room, The Dark Experience, on Clubhouse. So that's a good social app where you can enjoy. So just want to say hello to you all if you're on the line. If not, hello anyway, and hope to see you before the show ends. So I want to say hello to my family, my friends, your friends, and welcome once again. Six Eyes Gospel Show. I have my coffee. Do you have yours? Amen.
Coffee out at about 5-something this morning. Every Sunday morning, I'm up by 5:30. At the latest, and getting ready for my day. Have to drive up to Somerville and back, and just prepare for the program, and then I have another service right after this one to go through, a celebration of a good, great friend of mine who is a brother indeed in Christ, and I feel like he's a big brother naturally. Amen. A great friend celebrating his pastoral anniversary. So today is indeed the Lord's day, and I will be churching pretty much all day. And so
you're the man on the move. So busy pastor here. Make sure you congratulate him from the Six Eyes Radio Network, and many, many more blessings. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm simply doing.
I'd like to also thank Road last night and Six for the wonderful program they had last night.
Oh,
all right. All right. All right. I missed that one. But that I can imagine that was a good program. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get started. Amen. We're going to ask Missionary Ken, as we've always asked him, to open us up in a word of prayer. And following him, we will ask Sister Ruth to come with a scripture reading for us today. And then we'll do something else. In that order.
All right. So as you are there in your place, wherever you may be, bow your heads as we open in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, now that you take the wheel of this here program, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we go about saying what we got to say and doing what we got to do. Let something we say or do, Lord Jesus, be honored, glorifying to your name, Lord Jesus, so that that sinner nearest hell will be able to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask first off for the family and friends who's lost someone due to COVID-19, that you'd be able to comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus, by your wonderful healing hand, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the newscast, on the television and the radio set, Lord Jesus, like George Floyd and many other wicked situations like that, Lord Jesus, you got mail, because we need to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor, Lord Jesus, who is you. So now, Lord Jesus, as we turn this program into your keeping, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you just now bless each and every one listening, for it's in your name we pray and ask. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay, what I have here is Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 9. May God bless his word. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall be deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou hast not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will require at thine hand. Okay, and then we have one more here. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he did not turn from his way, He shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
And that was once again, Ruth?
That's Ezekiel 33, 1 through 9.
Amen. May God bless the hearers, the readers, and most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Enjoy the program.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service. To charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it, and we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young, and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
My soul said yes, yeah. My soul said yes, Lord.
yeah. Lord, I thank you for forgiving me over and over again, yeah. I'm calling on you, Heavenly Father. I'm down on my knees. Say, call on you no matter the hour. Lord, I'm in need. I've been messing up, done lost my house, done lost my job. Why walking out? These church folks say they my friends, but I'm all they talk about. I've been doing wrong, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me. We confess to him, he'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house from the inside out. Restore me. Take away my business doing it, no church or no Bible study, ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this, can't live my life in sin. We confess to him, he'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house.
The best cleaner alive. Every now and then we all go through a little strife. But if you let him, he will change your life. Now I can hear you saying that life's been rough. Oh yeah, you've been going through a whole lot of stuff. God specializes in the impossible. Just trust and believe. His grace is more than enough. Do it for me. Take out all my iniquity. I'm doing
this house. Sometimes that's what we need to do, both physically and spiritually. Some of us need to do some spiritual cleaning, and some of us need to do some physical cleaning. But I'm so glad that I got help with my spiritual cleaning, and that is in Jesus Christ. Hey, you're tuned in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Go ahead and get your praise on.
Molly, let's go get him.
Give me that joy I can't explain, an extra peace that'll ease my pain. Want that love that'll never change. Give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that. Give me that power to walk away when another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that, give me that.
Oh, anybody ready?
Oh,
ready for His glory?
Oh,
if you are sick of a life,
oh,
let me tell you the story.
Oh,
every place that's dark,
oh,
He will bring it to light.
Oh,
hypocritical hearts, backsliders, liars, time to get right.
Oh,
see, I include myself.
Oh,
I cast my own stone.
Oh,
I'm the man in the mirror, y'all.
Oh,
I can see my wrong.
Oh,
but I'm here by grace.
Oh,
through Christ by faith.
Oh,
I had to make that choice. I had to open up my mouth and say,
give me that joy I can't explain, add extra peace that'll ease my pain. Want that love that'll never change. Give me that,
give me that,
give me that,
give me that.
Give me that power to walk away when another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that,
give me that,
give me that.
Oh, anybody tired? You want the show to end?
Uh-oh.
Get the actors off stage.
Uh-oh.
And let church begin.
Uh-oh.
Do you want a revolution?
Uh-oh.
You want to hear new songs?
New song.
See, God is cleaning up house.
Uh-oh.
At first He started right at home.
Uh-oh.
No more miracle water.
Uh-oh.
Prayer calls for money and fame.
Uh-oh.
See, everybody got a title. But do you know your name?
Uh-oh.
If we humble ourselves, people,
uh-oh,
fall on our face,
uh-oh,
and ask God, everything in me that's not right, take it away.
Yeah.
Give me that God.
That's
how many of
giving that joy I can't explain. I'm at a loss of words now. I'm so happy you make me happy now. Yeah. Give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll add extra peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Oh, give me that.
Give me that.
To you today, I am none other than Pastor Kenneth Bunnett, here in the beautiful city of Memphis, Tennessee. I want to minister a word to you. Now, we're in this month of December where our emphasis is for us to be mindful that there is a process. And since this December is the season of joy, as we are coming upon the celebration of the birth of Christ. And now, for those of you that said, well, he wasn't born on December 25th. I am not here to argue that point with you. I'm simply here to say to you that the Christian community have set that date as a date that we collectively remember the gift of God to the whole world. None of us was there, so we don't know the actual date. So we have taken this date and made it our day of remembrance of the joy that the Almighty Father gave to us. And he gave it to us so that we can be reconciled back to him. Because although the Israelites, the Jews at that day and time, was his chosen people, their disobedience had carried them far from him. And so the blood of animals will only purify them for a set time. So there had to be something that took place that will make it permanent. And so God the Father set Jesus in place to pay the price for sin for us. And as we begin to talk about this subject, as we lead up to Christmas and the new year, we're going to be sharing with you the different prophecies of the Old Testament and showing you their fulfillment in the New Testament, so that you can know that these 66 books that we read together from the King James Version of the Holy Bible, that they are cohesive, that they don't contradict each other, that they provide for us a unity that only God can do, being that there was more than 40 different authors, and the period of time was more than 2,000 years apart from one to the other, yet over three different continents. And so we see the unity of God in the sacred scriptures. And so we're going to move forward today, and I hope you have your Bible. And if you have what they call a smartphone, a digital device, a smartphone or tablet, or even just your regular PC notebook, and you don't have a Bible on it, a Bible application on it, then I serve you notice that that phone is not a smartphone. That tablet is not a smart tablet. It needs a little dog. I don't care what it does. I don't care what's the name. It needs a little dog. But let me help you. Don't have to stay dumb. You can make that tablet, that smartphone, smart today by going to whatever your app store is, whether it's Windows, whether it's Android, whether it's Apple, and go to your smart store. And download, check this out, a free version of the Holy Bible. Free version of the Holy Bible. And for unity, we prefer that you download one of the King James Version. But if you didn't grow up in church and the Z's and the Z's can throw you, download the New King James Version or the New Living Translation. And either of those will give you what you need to study the Word of God. Amen. So, today, let's go together and let us read together. And we'll kick this off in the Old Testament. And so, just to give you a little something of where I'm coming from. And if I don't finish today, and I won't, we'll keep on until we finish. Is that all right? Because hopefully you're on this ride to a finish. You know, I often go to theme parks, and I'm a person, I like the thrill rides. I love them. And it was only one time in my life I got on a ride and didn't want it to finish. I was very, 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 very young, and I remember it well, Brother Six. And Brother Six, I was a young fellow with my mom, and we went up in the Ferris wheel. And I wasn't afraid of heights, I don't think. It was the motion in the height that got me. And we was in that Ferris wheel, and that wheel, as it went up, somehow or another, the cage that we was in began to rock. And all I knew is, I'm a short fella, but when I stood up, I bumped my head in the rocking. And I was a little fella then, so if I bumped my head, to me, that cage was too small. And I can remember hollering at the conductor, the person that's operating the controller, as it went down towards him, hollering at him, "Let me out," and some other stuff. I was young. I didn't know cursing then, so I was just begging him to let me out. "Stop, please." And my mama was trying to calm me down and tell me to sit down because it was my hysteria, that was causing my anxiety there. It was because I wasn't calm that made the situation worse. And I almost did not like any type of ride from that point on. Car ride, I wasn't going. It wasn't, that was one experience that was bad. But I had some godparents that loved me and did a family vacation and took me to Six Flags. Yes, I'm testifying. This might be for somebody today. Amen. And I went to Six Flags, and we was enjoying, and they gave us instructions, the kids, and they gave us, say, okay, y'all can go do this and do that, but meet back here at the same time, blah, blah, blah. And I was standing at a ride, looking at the folks. And I was like, what can't do that? And I remember, Brother Six, this young man came up to me, young kid, just the same size as me, and I never forget it. Can't remember his name, but he said, "You gonna ride it?" And I said, "Uh-uh." He said, "It's fun." I was on it. I said, "Uh-uh." And because in my mind, I didn't let go of the last bad experience. Oh, I'm preaching already to somebody. And somebody today, you're facing some things in life that may take you higher, but because of your last bad experience, you can't let go. But this young man said to me, he said, "Listen, if you go, I'll go with you." I didn't know him. But because I had sized him up to be my same height, roughly my same age, and because I said, Well, he looked like me. If he can do it, so can I. And me and this fella got on the ride, and I had the time of my life. So much so that here it is, 40-plus odd years later, about 45 years later, I'm still remembering the joy of that experience, all because somebody said, I'll go with you. Anybody ever ask you to go on a journey with them? Well, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, wherever you may be in this world, Christ is asking you to go on his journey called life with him. He said in his word, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And so I want to dispel all your fears completely away today, that if Christ be with you, I know scripture is Christ before us, but I want to use the word with, because I need you to understand he ain't just for you, because a lot of times I'm watching TV and my football team is playing and I'm for my team, but I ain't there at the stadium, so I'm not really with them. I'm for them, but I'm not really with them. Christ will be with us, brothers and sisters, wherever we may be, because he is here, there, and everywhere at the same time, because he's omnipresent. So he can be carrying my heavy load, and he's so much of a God that he can carry yours too at the same time and make you feel just like it's just you and him against the world. And that gives you strength. That gives you victory. That gives you hope. So I want to encourage somebody with that today. The Holy Spirit wanted to encourage you, because that was not in my notes to share today. But I pray that it bless you real good. The memory of it is blessing me. In our Bibles today, we're going to the book of Hebrews. Amen, somebody. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. I may read 4 and 5 because they are relevant too. So Hebrews, that's the New Testament, the 2, verses 4 through 9. My key verse is verse 6, but just so we can stay in context, let's read 4 as well. It says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gift of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Verse 5, for unto the angels, plural, has he not put in subject the world to come, whereof we speak. But in a certain place he's testifying, okay, saying, what is man? Thou art mindful of him. So somebody's asking the question, what, who are we? Somebody asking the question of our worth and our value. Isn't that amazing? Somebody in creation somewhere stopped God and says, who are these creatures you're concerned with? What is this species? So let me go back again. Verse 6, but one in a certain place testified. I mean, they asked the question, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou hast visited him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. This is speaking of Christ. And did set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put him, verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that all things subject unto him, he left nothing that is not put under him, that is Christ. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Back in the book of Genesis, and that's where we're going to next, go ahead and turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Amen. So Genesis chapter 3. And we see here that this story takes place in the Garden of Eden. And in chapter 2, God had gave man, Adam, dominion over all. Now, before I go on, let me explain Adam. Adam is all, A-L-L, seeds of the earth. In other words, there's no one that can be born in this world that haven't come from the seed of Adam, because he was the first male, and in the man is the seed of life, which reproduced life in the world. But because Adam had no womb to plant the first seed, God opened Adam up and pulled out of him. That's why there's no woman in a man. So no man can say, I feel, no, you don't. You can't say you feel like a woman. You don't have a menstrual. You may go through some mood swings, but you don't have one of those. Let me keep on going. And he pulled out of Adam Eve.
Go ahead and preach it.
He pulled out.
Come on, brother.
Adam,
come on.
Eve. And in Eve was the ground that was going to plant and birth all other life. So her name was Eve because she shall be the mother of all living. Amen, somebody. But God, in his infinite wisdom, the things that was going on, and the plan of man was to show the glory of God without the strength to do anything.
Come on now.
Now, most
oh, yeah.
of us don't understand about angels and the strength that they have. But when we read Revelations and certain books like that, we see the strength that one angel can do so much devastation. So, in the beginning of things, the one that was called the morning star, that's Lucifer by name, who later became Satan because of his deeds and actions, he deceived a third of the heavenly hosts, the Bible declares. And in that deception, he deceived them to move away from the nature in which they was created. Hear me well. I'm going to say it again. In other words, the angels, each of them, all of them, was created a nature of the specific type of angel there was. And somehow, this slick-tongued talker, the Morning Star, was able to persuade them to leave their natural standing as God made them. That's one of the reasons why in this dispensation of time, we're seeing the world being attacked with this identity crisis. Nowhere in scriptures have we seen people to this degree born a man, not acting like a woman, but now changing all of their tools so that they can be like a woman. Still can't have no mister. That's all I got to say. And vice versa. Still can't produce no seed. But they change their natural estate. Now, some demons, some angels had removed so severe from their natural state to those portion was already sentenced and are in hell right now today, according to the sacred scriptures. And there's a lid that's kept over hell so that those angels are not able to escape the bottomless pit. That's why when we pray and we're casting demons out of people, we can't tell them to go back to hell because they haven't been there yet. And we know that because when we see that Jesus came to one particular land and there was a man that was vexed with the spirit vexed him so that he was cutting himself. They would chain him up and he would break the chains. His strength was enormous. They could not contain him and he hung out in the graves and he would not be home with his people. He was vexed so well. And when Jesus stepped his foot on the shoreline coming in that direction, the man wasn't asking for help, but the demons saw Jesus and feared the power of God and asked the question, have you come to torment us before our time? So they knew that they only had a time to so-called enjoy themselves. And I want to pause right here in a moment, because a lot of times people really don't understand this, and this is probably one of those illustrations to show demonic activities in the life of people. When you begin to behave on impulse, understand there was a demonic spirit behind it. Because don't nobody control you but you, but when you do things out of your normal character, that makes you ask yourself, why did I do that? There was a spirit influencing you. Now, in case you don't know, let me be clear. There's only two kinds of spirit. One is of God and one's not. One is of God and one's not. So if it's not of God, it's of the deceiver. And that deceiver has one job, and that is to deceive you, to keep you from doing what God has naturally called you to do. So the Bible says, Jesus testifies this. He said, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, that you may have life. And it more abundantly. So understand those two types of spirits. And so when you bind spirits off the life of people as believers, and believers, I want to speak to every believer, you as a believer have the power to cast out demons off the life of people. Why? Because, and these signs shall follow them that believe, and he gives the list. So we have to know the word that what God has given us. Now, I got to stop right there because that's going to take me in a different direction of our subject matter for the day. They recognize Christ as he came. All creation recognized who Christ is because John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelled amongst us. So how's that prophecy all interacted today? Why we should celebrate Christmas. And I'm going to say Christmas, because Christ must be first in our life. Christ must be active in our life. Christ must be our life. So we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, verse 14 tells us that the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. He's talking to the serpent. Why is he talking to the serpent? Because the serpent did something out of his nature. The snake at that time had the ability to walk on two legs. On many snakes today, you can turn them over on their belly, and you can see two stubs under their bellies where their feet would have been had they been just like lizards, because they are reptiles and they are all the same. And so here's the curse, the first judgment that is paid because of disobedience that we see on the earth. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, what have he done? He has left his nature. Because he left his nature, this curse fell on him, not just him alone, but his entire species, everyone like him. There's still other reptiles. The alligator still has legs. The lizards has legs. The dragon, Komodo dragons, they have legs. So, but the serpent, they lost their ability to walk upright because they changed their nature. So because he was the first of his kind, because he was of the male species of his kind, that curse followed all the way through. And that's why we understand, and when we look at the Word of God carefully, we always see a shadow of things to come. And so God always gives us that warning before destruction, that clue of what's about to take place, that he gives us the understanding. He had already told Adam, Adam, in this garden, your job is to take care of it, to keep it. And I'm giving you some help. And when he saw the help, he said, for this cause shall a man leave both mother and father and cleave to his own wife. Adam set the boundaries of marriage then and there, because Adam set it, established for all generations. That's why, in the eyes of God, there would never be an acceptance for two men or two women to marry, or a man to marry an animal or a woman to marry an animal. None of those things would ever be accepted for any reason and any cause, because it was already established, because God had gave Adam dominion and Adam had already spoken. So because it was already spoken, it is already the law. Go on. Now Adam, following his instructions, he allowed a serpent to talk to Eve and persuade her to do something that was not permitted, and that's to eat from the tree of good and evil. Everything that they knew in life was already good, so they already knew good. But they didn't know evil, because evil, which is sin, is simply disobedience of the Creator. Disobedience of the Creator. If God said it and you did something different, it's disobedient. It is called sin, the Hebrew word sin. And sin, the Bible says the wages of it is death. So the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Adam was told, in the day that you eat of it. In other words, God knew he was going to eat it because he didn't say if. God didn't say this was conditional. He said, in the day. He said, in other words, I know you're going to do it. But I made the backup plan for you. I know you're going to mess up. I know your curiosity is going to get the best of you. And you're going to claim your independence from me. Which is what Satan did in heaven. But God said, I'm going to make it so that although you did it unaware, I'm going to give you the option to come back. But it means that a soul that is clean must die. Anybody out there, you know about biology. You know that in the body, the life of the body is in your blood. All of your organs that operate in your body operate for the function of the blood. If your blood is contaminated, then it contaminates the organs in your body. That's why when cancer gets in your blood, it begins to contaminate your whole body, thereby causing you to die or to expire. So the life of the body is in the blood. Well, sin, the wages of sin is death. The cost of it has a price tag. And that price tag got added to the blood. So now in the blood of all men, because of Adam, all men was now condemned to die. And that is both the physical death and the separation from the Creator. But God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave. And he tells us in verse 15 that he did this. So after he told the serpent, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shall thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of your life, and throughout your existence. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee. So now he's talking to the spirit. He's talking to the demonic oppression or the demonic activity operating within the serpent. So I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And between thou seed, now he's speaking to Lucifer, who possessed the serpent. He said, your seed. Now he's talking about demonic seed. He's talking about a ungodly seed. He's talking about a seed that will be disobedient to God. And God says, I'm going to put an enmity, a distance, a difference between your seed and, listen to the words, her seed. And I want y'all to understand it says her seed, S-E-E-D, no S. So the woman don't have seed, number one. Number two, it says that one day this woman will have a seed apart from Adam. In other words, there's going to be a purebred coming down the line. Because of Adam, all blood is contaminated now. And since the life of every human being born comes from the father. In other words, your blood type is not based on your mother. It's based on your father. And since that's biology 101, let's put that to a spiritual principle. So if my blood type is based on my father and my father's blood is tainted with sin, so is my blood. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? Because my blood was already tainted. But Christ, here it is, but her seed wasn't going to be tainted because it didn't come from Adam. It's going to have a different blood type. And that different blood type is what's going to let it be pure. And so since Adam is a copy and Jesus is the original, because the Bible said before the foundation of the world, Christ. So Christ was already made for us, and we are made in his image and after his likeness. So we are images of Christ. That's another reason why it's a sin to kill your brother, because to kill one another is to kill the image of God. Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me. That's all right. But and so he said, and I will put thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's talking about the ministry itself. In other words, you're going to mess with his walk, but he's going to end your authority. And so we see that. So now, where is the fulfillment of that? Where is that fulfilled in prophecy, Pastor Bonnet? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, let's go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to Acts chapter 3. That's for Ken. Acts chapter 3, verse 25. And so where is the fulfillment of this scripture? Acts chapter 3, verse 25 and 26 says, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindred of the earth be blessed. Again, he said, in thy seed. Specify seed, not seeds. That's why we as believers can be dogmatic when we say that Christ is the only way to the Father. There's no other way to the Father but by Christ. We can be dogmatic about it because the scriptures record seed, not seed. As we saw in Eve, he said seed. As we see here with Abraham, and we'll read another text where God promised Abraham so that we'll have the fortification for this text. He said seed. Okay. And so in thy seed, all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. So that's what Christ did. Now, let's go back And let's look at Abraham. I got to go out of order here a little bit just to get that in to you. And we see, well, now let me back up. I want to go back to the birth of Christ before I go to Abraham. Isaiah chapter 7, because I don't want to get so happy that I start skipping around. Amen. That's one reason why, as a preacher, we take little, we write our little bullet notes so we stay in order. Amen. Amen. Because you get excited about it, and you'll start adding your text become longer and longer, and so on. But Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it gives us to understand that. He said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Give you a what? A sign. So how do we know that God was going to redeem mankind? He said, therefore, the Lord himself. Who's going to do it? The Lord himself. So Isaiah is prophesying to the children of Israel, letting them know that God himself is going to give them a sign that the Messiah, the word that we use for Christ, Messiah is the Hebrew word, Christ is the Greek word, and all of it means anointed one. Amen. And so verse 14 says, therefore, sometimes go ahead and put you a little star there so that you can go back and read what all of this is there for. But we're going to the conclusion. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, simply meaning God with us. Amen. And so verse 15, it goes on other things. It says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and choose good. In other words, he wasn't going to come, he had this big appetite, eating up everything full of gluttony. But he was going to go through the process just like everyone else that is born of a woman. And so it lets us know that, number one, Christ will be born. And not only will he be born, but he's going to be born of a virgin. Now, you can't be a virgin after you have intercourse. I understand when you recommit your life and you submit yourself over to celibacy and still don't bring you back to virginity. But yet this young lady knew no man at all. And we'll get to her story later on this month. But the prophecy is that she was a virgin. So one of the key elements of the Christian faith, of us that are called believers of Christ, is the fact that Christ was born of a virgin birth, which means that his blood was pure. Now, when we look at the life of Abraham and how Abraham was told to give his son up, we see now, excuse me, why God was able to give his son up, because Abraham was willing to give his up. And God had to stop him because he was ready to do it. But then we look at how God began to orchestrate all of life so that we'll understand that Christ was the perfect lamb. When Adam and Eve sinned, well, if we go back to Genesis 3, we see that they had tied fig leaves together to cover themselves. But the first sacrifice, God went and killed the animal and sewed animal skin together for them, thereby giving them their first blood covenant. And we knew that this was going to be a practice for them in their generations and throughout their generations, because when Cain and Abel came and gave their offering, one was gave an offering of his livestock. The other gave his offering of his fruits and vegetables. And so his fruits and vegetables was not accepted like the fruit, like the offering of the animal. And perhaps the animal was a sheep, a lamb. And because that precious blood, that innocent blood, that animal that had no blemish was sacrificed, God accepted that sacrifice. And he rejected the other. Because before God, only blood will purify anyone alive before him. And so we saw the need for sacrifice. That takes us all the way to the Passover. That takes us all the way to Christ dying on the cross, being crucified. Let me go to the scripture to show this fulfillment. Matthew chapter 1. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Here's our fulfillment. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together. Before they what? Before they came together, she was found. She was found with child. In other words, she was already swollen. And understand the custom of that day and time. It was honorable for a young lady to hold her virginity to the day of her marriage. It was nothing like here in America where they're telling you to test the waters. That was foolishness. And it's foolishness now, but the world don't look at it that way because the world don't understand soul ties. Verse 18 again, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, a private. In other words, don't shame her. Don't cause her death. Break off the engagement somewhere where people don't know who she is, so she can live her life. Because he was a man of character, good character. He was a man that feared God, loved God. And he was not going to just take her life. And so, because God knew that Mary had to make a sacrifice, and it was one that will make her shame, but God had to connect her with someone who will cover that shame and take ownership. Oh, yes. Fathers, those of you that have gotten into relationships and married a woman with children, God has held you responsible for the upbringing of those children. No matter who their other father is, their natural father is, now that you and that woman have gotten together, you have a godly obligation to bring up them children as your own in the eyes of the Lord. That's a great responsibility. And likewise, vice versa. So let me go on. Verse 20 says, and we're reading down to verse 23. Verse 20 says, But while he thought all these things, while he what thought, that's why it's so important to meditate in the Word of God, not this stuff that yoga does, when you open your mind up subject to any spirit. But you meditate on the things that are pure, the things that are holy, the things that are good report. You meditate on the Word of God, the presence of God. What is God's will for your life? That's what you meditate on. You don't meditate on how to get even with nobody, how to get back at somebody. How you don't meditate on evil thoughts that should happen to other people because you think they deserve it. No. Those are evil thoughts. You're responsible to bind them up in yourself and to rebuke them so that they don't plant seeds in your heart to cause you to act out against people against God's will. Oh, I'm helping somebody today. Amen. So let me keep on reading. Amen. So again, we're going to read 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I must stop right there and say, this is why we know Joseph was a devout man of God, because he had to overlook what he saw and believe what he heard and had to act on what he was told. See, faith is not that you're just saying you believe something, but faith is moving in what you believe. That's why the Bible says faith without works is dead. You can say, well, I believe God this all day long, but if you're not moving towards it, if you're not doing your part to bring things to pass, faith is dead. That means it has not been properly activated to get you where you need to be. And that's a challenge sometimes. But it is what we must go through as believers. And so here it is. Joseph had to receive what the angel told him and believe that she didn't do nothing on the side. She ain't had no boo. She ain't had no secret affair. But what took place in her life was her submission to the will of Almighty God. In other words, he had to be a little privileged of the scripture that Isaiah 7:14 says that a young virgin shall give birth. He had to have that. That had to be somewhere in his understanding. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. The thing that kills us, the thing that hinder us is the lack of knowledge. What we don't know can indeed hurt us. Because I work in electrical as well. It's part of my lawn service, lawn and home care. I change out receptacles and stuff of that nature. And so when you're dealing with electricity, well, electricity is handled wrong, will shock you and possibly even end you. So when I'm working on a socket, it is very important for me to remember that I got a tool in my pocket that I can turn on that let me know whether or not it's hot, which means active, or is that line not active. In other words, whether there's a current going through that line or not, because I can touch that line, and if I'm not careful, depending on how much power it is, if enough power to burn me to injure me and even cause my heart to stop, depending on what kind of power I'm working with. So it's important for me to use the tools. And brothers and sisters, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down stronghold. If you don't know your spiritual weapons, your spiritual tools to use to overcome the enemy, you may do something that may knock your socks off. You may do something that causes harm to you. So we got to know this word for our one self. Bible says, study to show ourselves approval unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Let me read on here, verse 21 in Matthew chapter 1. Amen. Verse 21, Matthew chapter 1. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. In other words, he shall reverse their disobedience. He shall reconnect them back to the Father, because their disobedience, which was sin, carried them away from God, which killed the relationship. So he's talking about, that's why Christ is our Redeemer, because he brought us back to the Father. We was once with him in Adam, but Adam dropped us, and we strayed. But Christ picked us up, and now we're back with him. And it's for each of us to know our place in him. Amen, amen. But check my time here. This stuff gets so good. Oh, man, my time is about gone already. Lord have mercy. All right, let me keep on reading. Verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So here's the prophecy that was given. Here's the prophecy that was given and fulfilled in their life. So Christ gave the word, and he gave the fulfillment. And if we went over to Brother Luke real quick, Luke chapter 1, amen. And we'll see in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And let's read there. We see, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Now, why did he tell her that? Because there was a conversation beforehand as the angel of the Lord approached her and said unto her, hail, thou art highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And, you know, so, you know, the angel came talking smooth. That was some good salutation there. Amen. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what matter of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And see, in other words, God has deemed her worthy to hold him in her arms. And knew that upbringing was going to be well taken care of because of who Joseph was. So all of this didn't just happen by happenstance. And these were the promises of God coming to pass. And he said to her, verse 30, he said, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. I wanted to point out here that there's a difference between the Son of Man. No, that's going to take us off topic. Bonnie, stay with your text. Stay with, I got to talk to myself, like, and we're going to get happy there. I will go definitely into 2:30 with that right there. So we're going to read the rest of it. And behold, thou shalt conceive it in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt name his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And so that's why we see the lineage from Mary back to David, so that we know that the lineage line is true, because Joseph wasn't his actual father. And so we see the lineage there given to us to bear witness to us that God is fulfilling the promises he made in Genesis to Eve, the promises he made to Abraham, the promises that he made through Isaac, and so many more that we'll get to at a later time. I want to try to take time to squeeze in one more, and that is Micah. Let's go to Micah real quick. Let me try to squeeze this in. I want to go to Micah 5. Amen. That's the Old Testament. Not Malachi. Amen. But Micah. So if you went back from Matthew, Malachi was the next one. But you need to go back a few more books to Micah. And you get to Micah, and we're going on that 5th chapter, and that 2nd verse there. We'll start there. And these are, again, the prophecy of Christ coming. And the New Testament bears witness of the fulfillment of the things spoken aforetime. So, in Micah 5 and 2, we see that, but thou Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old everlasting. So this is a prophetic prophecy talking about the reign of Christ and where he was going to hail from. And so out of Bethlehem, God has called him, even though they was considered little. So here's one of the scriptures saying, out of Bethlehem, amen, that God, Christ was going to be called from. Where's the fulfillment of that? Glad you asked. Go to Matthew. Back to Matthew. Amen. And we're going to wrap it up here because there's so much more to share, but we have to put a pin in it somewhere. So Matthew chapter 2, and we'll pick up there at verse 4. And I encourage you to go back and read the whole chapters of these books that I've given you, and you'll see the prophecies of God's word through them through and through. Amen. And again, Matthew chapter 2, verses 4. All right. Now, this is taking place. Previous verses tell us about the wise men. They had saw the star of Christ in the east, and they traveled from afar. So once again, they didn't come from the east. People say men from the east. They didn't come from the east. If you read verse 2, they saw it in the east. So if they saw it in the east, that means they was west of it. And they came to worship him. So they followed the star of God, of Christ. They saw the star, and they began to follow the star because it was a prophecy unto them of the Savior being born. And their faith moved them. That's why I say faith moves you. So that they believed that the king was being born, so they brought gifts. Now, was mentioned are three types of gifts, but these are rich men from afar. So they brought of their wealth. And when you bring, if you're traveling far to give a king a gift, you're not bringing him a little thing. You're bringing him much of it. So these men from afar saw the star and they gathered. And so when they got there, Herod, the king, they was trying to search for him, and him being full of jealousy, he had heard that there was a king being born, and fearful of losing his kingship, he wanted to kill the king in his genesis. And so he tells the wise man, when you find him, come let me know. Let's read. Verse 4 says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. So that was verified in the scripture that we just read over in Micah. Okay? In Bethlehem of Judea, art not thou the least of the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And so that scripture was being fulfilled. It was being fulfilled in their very eyes. And we got so much more to share, but we got to put a pin in it right here. The proof that Christ is the anointed one, that Jesus Christ is the anointed one, and he's worth us celebrating a day to remember his birth. And the gift that he is to the whole world, not just to the Hebrews or the Israelites, but to all people, all races, he is that gift for the purpose of reuniting us back to the Heavenly Father. He's our gift. And I encourage you today to accept your gift. You know, many people are going to receive gifts this year. And they're going to be wrapped up either in a bag with some tissue over it or wrapped up in a paper wrapping with a bow. And there's going to be some people, that's not going to open their gifts. And so because of their failure to open the gift, whatever on the inside, they'll never benefit from it, because they didn't open it up. I encourage you today to open up the Bible so that you may know Jesus. Because if you never know him, you'll never get to enjoy the benefit that he has to offer you. And he has to offer you so much more in this life. Not just heaven. That's why some people wait as long as they can to live a saved life or to confess Christ, because they feel that being saved, they're going to miss out on some things. That means they have deemed sin a little higher than the relationship with God the Father. That's sad, but it's true. And then once they have used all their strength in the world, they try to give their life to God when they're broken, when they're not able to do anymore. And some are sad because when they experience the true joy of knowing our Savior, Jesus Christ. They are saddened in their heart that they waited so long. Well, saying to you, sirs, to you, ma'am, that don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, stop doing what you're doing and just ask him to reveal himself to you. Submit yourself to him and watch how much better your life will be. He made my life better. And I'm sure he'll make yours better too. In fact, it's getting better as the days go on. So he don't love me any more than he loves you. The only difference is my willingness to go after him versus your willingness to submit and go after him. So Christ is not only my Savior, he's my Lord. Why don't you make him your Lord today? Open up your heart. Repent for your wrongdoing. Ask him to forgive you. And tell him you make him Lord. That means he has the final say concerning you. Hey, I love you with the love of Christ. Let me open up. Oh, they are open. God bless you. Thank y'all for hanging out with me today. Thank y'all for being on the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Hey, Pastor Bonnet is done. Hey, is there any takeaways today from those of you that's on the line right now? Anyone got any comments, any takeaways? Thank you for being a part.
Pastor Bonnet, you were talking about the blood, okay? And how that the mother's blood and the father's blood, in this case the baby's blood and the mother's blood, when you think about it, they do not mix. Okay? And when we look at Jesus, now, everybody knows, let's just make it simple for everybody, that since the father's blood is where the baby gets the blood, and Jesus was born of a virgin, and those men out there that say that their children, this is flesh of my bone, of my bone, flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood, flesh of my flesh. They're only 50% right. Why? Because their children get their blood, but not their flesh. The flesh comes from the mother. The blood comes from the father. Well, here's something interesting that'll get you to shouting. We talk about Jesus being 100% man and 100% God. Well, he was 100% man because he got the flesh from Mary, but yet he was 100% God. Because he had 100% of God's blood, because God the Father was his father. And that's where he had his blood. He had God's blood running in his veins. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Come on. Anybody else got a takeaway or add-on? All of it is good. We're in the fellowship time. Come on.
Great message, great message that you preached. So there's not one particular thing to take away. I think the whole thing needs to be re-listened to, needs to be downloaded. And the way you can do that is going to your podcast section of your phone, typing in Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES, Radio, RADIO, and listen to the message in its entirety. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah,
and definitely.
It's too much.
Right,
you just can't take one thing. That's like eating some lasagna. It got to be the whole thing. You just can't take out the ricotta cheese and leave the noodles and the meat. So the whole message needs to be listened to and downloaded in one's memory. Amen.
Amen. All right. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else got a takeaway? Amen.
You know, you made me hungry for some lasagna. But really, the message is really special. When I got saved, I accepted the Lord at 14 years old. I was a young teenager. And what you're saying here is really important. We really have to make him not just our, you know, our Lord, our Savior. We have to have all of him and listen to every word he says, because the Holy Spirit guides us to, and God is a creator. It's just beautiful how they all work together.
Amen. I love it. Thank you very much. Amen. And whether we're young or old, it's important to put him first. Amen. And to know that it just didn't happen. God, it was always in God's plan. And Christ is the anointed one. This is why we can put our whole faith in him. And we don't have to look for any other additive to our faith. That our faith can be tied up, wrapped up, tangled up, all in Jesus Christ, who is both Lord and Savior. Because he is all God and all man. And we're going to get into some other scriptures as time go on. We want to get into the one that say, unto us, a child is born and a son is given. And we're going to break down what that scripture means. And you'll be surprised. The very comment that Missionary Ken made actually predicts or predicts that sentiment. It is the expression of that. So to know how was God, how was Jesus Christ, both God and man, we'll break it down with that particular scripture. Unto us a son, a child is born, and a son is given. And we're going to break that scripture down as we go into it. And all of these things was processed, the process of time. Nothing happened overnight. We see one prophecy way back in Genesis that didn't. We saw its fulfillment in the Acts, the books of Acts, and their understanding and so on and so forth. So we see the vast difference between the Old Testament prophesying something and we see its fulfillment in the New Testament. All of it was Christ. Christ one time said to them, he said, you thirst for scriptures. And he said, and they speak of me. And I'm doing the very thing that the scriptures said I would do. And I'm going through the very actions that it said I would. And you still around here lost. You still don't understand. You still, and that's because they were caught up in their own pride, their own foolishness. And we'll talk about those things as days go on, as we approach December 25th in celebration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I close out by saying happy birthday. And Sister Ruth, can you come with the Bloodhound of Scripture, please?
Yeah, I'm right here. I just had to grab the Bible here and go back to the first one here. Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers.
You know, I didn't find that one. And I have an idea where it is, but I didn't find it. And that was a good one. That was a real good one.
Okay, anybody else think they might know?
It's thy brother.
A son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. I think you guys got an idea what testament it's in, too, by the way I said that.
It's in Deuteronomy.
Yeah, yep. You're right.
All right.
I found it.
For our listeners, I guess I just didn't find it earlier, but Deuteronomy 13:6, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or the son of thy daughter, or the son, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thy own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go serve other gods. We know it should have been in Deuteronomy because that's where we get the law. And in Deuteronomy, we hear the scripture, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and it commands them to serve him and him only. So we knew it should have been somewhere in Deuteronomy.
Yeah, there's another thing interesting about Deuteronomy. It also has, I think, a repetitive of the Ten Commandments.
Uh-huh.
Yep, in chapter 5. The Ten Commandments are both found in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5.
Amen.
Now I'm getting the second one here. Uh-oh, I lost the page.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You'll find it. Yes, you will.
Okay, here it is. Okay, here's the one for next time. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. And that's a toughie, but I've had that happen to me. It's not easy to do that because some people really are mean.
That was so short, you got to give it to them one more time, Ruth.
Okay, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you.
Amen. We actually discussed that one in a lesson, I want to say 3 weeks ago. If not two, it was one of the lessons, and if I say the title, it'll tell them where it's at. So we just discussed that one. So that's a good one. We just discussed that. Hey, man. All right. All of you sleepyheads, we're about to let you go. We have had a wonderful time on the Six Eyes Gospel Show today. We want to say thank you. Thank you for all of you that have joined with us today. We want to say thank you to all of our contributors, those that have taken time to sow seeds into the station. We want to thank you. Know that we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we are praying for you in this season. The Christmas season makes emotion to so many people. And we know in this time of the pandemic, there's a lot of people that's dealing with a lot of unresolved emotions. and it's causing them to feel one way one moment and another the next moment. But we want to encourage them to give all your emotions to God, and let the peace of God come upon your life, and the peace of God, it shall surpass all understanding. It'll help you deal with the season, especially those of you that lost loved ones during this time. For some people, this is going to be your first year of going through Christmas without your loved one out there, and that's going to be tough. We're not going to say anything different. That's going to be tough. But we want to encourage you that you can get through it. With the help of God, all things are possible to them that believe. And so we want you to be of good cheer. Stick here with this Six Eyes Radio Network. Let us be that beacon of hope and inspiration to you. And we thank you. Thank you for your contribution. Thank you for your time. And we pray that something that we say and do truly be a blessing to you, to help you in your walk with Christ. We love you with the love of Christ. And at this time, we're going to ask our founder, Brother Charles, to come and say our goodbye salutations. And we will see you on tomorrow night on Motivational Monday with yours truly once again.
Yeah, and he can also tell us how to give donations.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Always a beautiful message. And, yes, from the Six Eyes Radio Network on this 12th day of December, 12 days to Christmas, we want to wish you happy holidays. Happy holidays. We got a little Bing Crosby playing. All is bright. I might remake that. To give to the station to help keep us bringing you great programming, you have two options. You can go to the PayPal platform, and the email address you'll enter is sixeyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the number six at gmail.com. That is S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the number six at gmail.com. And again, whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming will be greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. Now, for the Cash App users, that will be $SIXEYES. The digit number two, the digit number four, $SIXEYES, the digit number two, the digit number four. Yes. And once again, happy holidays from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
God bless you all. And to all, a good night.
Yes. They sound so beautiful, don't you agree?
We agree. We're enjoying it before we close out.
All right. Let's hang out a little while. We didn't pay for the time, so let's hang out.
Tell Mama Six we say hello.
Hello, Mama Six.
Hey, Mama. I love you, beautiful woman.
And hello to my Papa Six Eyes in heaven. Hello, Papa Six Eyes.
I say hello to my Papa John that I've never really known, so my dad's in heaven, too.
All right. Hello to all the loved ones in heaven smiling down on us. So we're going to be having Christmas music throughout the Six Eyes Radio Network shows. This is December 12th, 2021. And remember, we're still in this pandemic with the Omicron variant. So please make sure you're washing your hands, practicing social distancing, wearing your mask. Very important. And if you have the masks that are not disposable, please make sure you wash your reusable mask. Freshen it up and make sure you properly dispose of your used mask. Amen.
All right. Y'all didn't know I could sing this.
Oh, yeah.
Will you kiss the hand? Mm-hmm.